Good morning and welcome to the Sunday sermon on April the 5th for Life Creek Church in Oak Creek, Wisconsin. I'm Pastor Ron. We're coming to you from my home office because of the quarantine, and I am praying for you. I hope you're praying for me. Let's go ahead and pray about today's sermon. It is Palm Sunday. We are entering Easter week. So let us pray together and hopefully experience God even this morning in our lives. Father, in the name of Jesus, we're just asking for your anointing on the sermon this morning. Lord, that it would change us even today. Your word would encourage us, strengthen us in this time of darkness. Father, in the name of Jesus, we pray against this virus. Lord, we're asking you to hold it back. Bring your kingdom into this world. Bring it into our lives. Heal, Lord God. Restore for all of us, for our families, for our friends. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord. Amen. And today is, like I said, it's Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday is the celebration of the arrival of the Messiah as King, bringing his kingdom. Now, a lot of things happen after that, and we're going to talk about that this week as we approach Good Friday and Easter. But today, it's about the arrival of the King. So that's the title of our sermon this morning, The Arrival of the King. And you may recall, it's what we've been talking about all along. It is the kingdom of God, the bringing of the kingdom. What has Jesus been doing? Many of us think that, oh, someday, by and by, we will experience the kingdom of God. And certainly that is true. And that is what Jesus came to do. But he came to bring the kingdom to us now, here, within us. And we are to bring that kingdom into this world. So the kingdom is today. It is for us today. And we are talking about the arrival of the kingdom into the earth through Jesus on Palm Sunday today. Now, you should recall that we've been talking about how the purpose of Jesus coming, he was to redefine the Exodus. We know that Israel came out of slavery to Egypt, and it came out miraculously. But that's being redefined in Jesus. He is bringing us out of the kingdom of darkness into his kingdom of light. We are being delivered miraculously from the kingdom of this world, from the kingdom of Satan, into the kingdom of Jesus. Also, he has redefined who the people of God is. Who are the people of God? We are the people of God. Before it was Israel, but now you become the people of God through faith, and we become his people, and he becomes our God. What a story that is. We've talked about how God says that throughout Scripture, I will be your God, and you will be my people. And as we receive God into our lives in Jesus, through faith in him and what he has accomplished for us, we become the children of God, John says, the people of God, the community of God, this new, redefined community of God. And today we are talking about the arrival of the King, how Jesus, as God, becomes King again. You may recall that we talked about Israel in 1 Samuel chapter 8. One of the sins of Israel was rejecting God as king. But here, Jesus is reinstituting that he is king. Let's read this in 1 Samuel. Behold, you are old and your sons do not walk in your ways. This is the people of Israel talking to Samuel. Now appoint for us a king to judge us like all the nations. They are saying, we want to be like everybody else. We want a king like everybody else. God was their king, but now they're rejecting him. This thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to judge us, because God has been that king. But now they're saying, no, we want to look like everybody else. And we know as Christians, we are called out of this world, not to look like everybody else, but to follow after God, not to make kingdoms of this world great, but to bring God's kingdom to this world. Let's go to the next scripture that I want to share with you. And this is from Matthew, and it is the arrival of Jesus as king. Matthew verses 1 through 11, and this is from chapter 21. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden. Now, I do want to share with you just a little bit from that in the time of Jesus, kings did ride into towns and become celebrated by riding on a colt, on a donkey. And there were blankets on the donkey, and people threw palm leaves in front of the donkey. They laid their coats, their cloaks in front of the donkey for the king to walk over. And so that's what's going on here. Let's continue. Verse 6, the disciples went and did as Jesus directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on him their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. So you see that this is how Jesus comes into Jerusalem, with great celebration, with great fanfare. This is before his crucifixion, right before it. And people are celebrating him as king, a new king coming. Here he comes. Hosanna, blessed is he. And what are they anticipating? They are anticipating that he will come as Messiah. We've talked about this in the weeks past, overthrowing the oppression of the Roman government and setting them free. And that is exactly what Jesus came to do, but not the oppression of the Roman government, the oppression of the world system, and of Satan. This is what Jesus has come to do. And we talked about the great temptation that Jesus went through at the beginning of his ministry, where he defeated Satan. He was in the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. He fasted that entire time. And he defeated Satan in that. He came out victorious, showing that he had the authority over the enemy, and he used the authority of the written word of God. And, you know, I pointed out that it was 40 days of fasting, and that is the beginning of the Lent season, and where we often give things up, and sometimes we give up chocolates, or we give up television. Some of us fast in a more serious way. But how ironic is this? Here we are during the coronavirus, and we are all billeting in our homes and in our houses. We are staying in our homes. We have had to give up going out to restaurants and and pleasures in this world, it's kind of almost like a fast that has been put on us. And what a great time it is to give it back to the Lord. And by that, I mean this. Many of us all the time say we don't have time to read our Bible, or we don't have time to study at this point. But now we do. We've gained time. Even if you have to work from home, still you don't have to travel to your job. You don't have to dress and get ready. You can sit around in your pajamas most of the day. Let's give time back to God. This is a time where we can invite him into our homes and study and pray together. What the devil has meant for evil, God will work to his good. Let's make it to God's good. Let's praise him during this time. And let me continue on this. Let's go to my next passage. Now, this is from John. Pilate went outside to them, and this is after Jesus had been brought. Jesus had been brought to him. So he comes in as king, but then he's arrested. He's later arrested. And part of that arrest is because he is coming in as king, right? It's easy for the Romans to arrest him. This man is setting himself up as king. Let's arrest him. He is not submitting himself to Caesar. He's going to start an uprising. Now, we'll discuss more of this in John on Good Friday. But I want to look a little bit about this battle as king. Pilate goes outside to meet them and says, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" This is after his arrest. Pilate entered his headquarters and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" And Jesus answered, now he's responding to the king question, isn't he? "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from this world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." So he comes in as king. We know that there are intervening actions. He winds up becoming arrested and then faces Pilate. And Pilate says, "Are you a king? And he says, "My kingdom's not of this world. But I have come for this purpose." Now, what is the purpose that he has come to? To bear truth. And what is the truth? That he is king. That he has come as king. And here begins this battle between Jesus and Pilate. This back and forth conversation. Who's king? Who's in control? And remember, we just talked about how Jesus showed his victory over Satan. And now Jesus is facing the world system and saying, "I am king. I've come for this purpose, to be king in this world." Let's continue on. Pilate said to him, now this is a direct answer. He said, "Well, what is truth? What is truth?" Isn't that the cry today? So many people want to have their truth. "Well, my truth says you could worship whoever you want." "Well, my truth says, that that this event is not true. That's fake news. And my truth says that this virus is a hoax. It doesn't really matter what your truth says. It matters what is real truth. And we know the Word of God is true. To the other things, I leave it to the experts. I'm not an expert. I'm not a science expert. I can't tell you what the World Health Organization knows and is telling us it is the best thing to do. They're the experts. I'm not an expert. But many of the world is thinking right now that they know stuff. They know things better than other people. Well, the only one that I know that knows better is God. God, His word is truth. Our Bible is explaining what is truth. And so Pilate enters this debate with Jesus about what is truth. The end of that conversation comes about that Jesus is going to be crucified. So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Now, what is that? It's ironic. That was put on him. But this is truly a crown and this robe without a seam in it. It's a robe of royalty. Jesus came in on the colt, a sign of royalty. He's got this crown, a sign of royalty, even though it is meant to cause him pain. And Pilate says to them, "Behold the man." And the chief priests and the officers saw him. They cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." Pilate is afraid. He is listening to a man of authority. Remember the pain that Jesus is experiencing, even with this crown. "Surely he has borne our griefs," Isaiah said, "carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, we are healed." Jesus is going through suffering, but he's going through it for us. John 19, 10 and 11. Pilate says to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you? Here it is. Here's the battle." Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." What is going on here? Jesus is saying, "You don't have authority over me. I'm laying my life down." I want you to understand this, because this goes to the Easter issue as well, the raising from the dead, the ultimate forgiveness of sins. If God takes your sins, if he forgives you and forgets them, then you don't carry them anymore. Then they can't work against you. They don't exist. This is what is going on with the authority. If I lay my life down, as Jesus does, if I lay it down, then you can't really take it. I'm giving it up. And that's what's going on with Jesus. This is what he's doing. Now, it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." And they cried out, "Away with him, away with him, crucify him." Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" And the chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to them to be crucified. Now, I want to say that I can't think of a more crushing statement. Remember, I went back to that 1 Samuel passage. Remember that Israel had said, we don't want God as our king. We want to look like everybody else. And here the Pharisees are repeating that. Crucify him. We have no king but Caesar. And this is this proclamation that an earthly king, even a king that is oppressing them, is their leader. Caesar is the oppression of the Pharisees. But the Pharisees reject Jesus in favor of this earthly oppressor. What I want to say to you today is that Jesus has come as king. He has come as your king. He has come as my king if we receive him as king. And I want to ask you, what do you think that means? Is he your king? You know, I go through points and times in my life when I have made decisions on my own. And I've said, oh, this seems like a good idea. I think I'll do this for a career. I think I'll do that for an investment without ever consulting the king. Help us, Lord. Let's consult the king. And in today, in what's happening right now with us, we don't have any other options. With this coronavirus, you know, so many times when we've been sick, you know, I had a bad knee. So what do? I go to the doctor. The doctor says, we need to replace that knee. And I have surgery. And I say, and I pray the whole time, but still, I am relying on the doctor's skill, on his abilities to heal me. And I believe that God has anointed doctors to do just that. But today, with this coronavirus, there aren't any options. You have one place to turn. That's to God. Let him bring that kingdom of healing. Let him bring his kingdom to you. Make him Lord of your life. There are no medicines to cure this coronavirus right now. Yes, we're looking for tests. Yes, we're looking for strategies. And the strategy about quarantine is a good strategy to stop this spread. But if you have this virus, there is only one option for us: to call the King and King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to come and heal us. We are depending upon God this morning. Make him king and let him be king over everything. Let him be king over your decisions. Come, Lord, bring your kingdom, because in your kingdom there is healing, there is goodness. Let's trust him to guide us, to give us wisdom. That's what we have to do today. So I'm asking you right now, repent. Repent of the times when we have failed to call him king, when we have failed to trust him, when we have failed to rely on him. Let's repent of that right now and ask him to be king over us, king in our lives. And then let's extend that kingdom to others. Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm praying for forgiveness of sins this morning. I'm praying for forgiveness for the things that we have done wrong and the things that we have not done. Things that you've asked us to do, people you've asked us to reach that we've said no and we've turned away from. Lord, be king in our lives. Forgive us for our sins. Forgive us for the times that we've relied only on ourselves. Lord, we need you now more than ever. We need your protection. We need your healing. We have people in the church, in this church today, that have relatives that are suffering from this virus, from COVID-19. Lord, in Jesus' name, deliver them. Heal them, Lord God. We need you. Lord, be our King. This I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can call me if you need to. You can write me. Also, I will be sending you a couple of messages of encouragement. And this Friday, we will have a darkening service, a tenebrae, it's called. If you've never experienced it, it won't be very long, but it will be unique and unique experience. And it's a unique experience remembering the crucifixion. And I think even though we'll be in our homes, we can still experience that in a powerful way that will be more real to us because of the situation this world is in than it ever has been before. So join me on Friday for the tenebrae service, the darkening service. And I thank you for joining me now. Call each other, pray for each other. Amen. God bless you.